You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Episode of the New Firsts NITV podcast, where we explore the world of Australia's First Nations people and multicultural communities in Australia. In this episode, we look at the connections between Indigenous Australians and the Australian Macedonian community. I am Bertrand Tungandame, and this is the NITV podcast.
For the last 16 years or so, I've had a pretty incredible career in Aboriginal affairs, mainly Aboriginal health, and established some very, very successful programs and received quite a few awards, Premier's Excellence Award. So at this point, I've amounted a fairly successful career and have been able to influence a lot of people and hopefully touch and improve the lives of a lot of people in community.
You just heard there from Aboriginal Macedonian man Ken Zulumovsky, and you'll hear more from him later in this NITV podcast. But first, Raditsa Bojkovska, executive producer, SBS Macedonian, sharing some insights into the Macedonian community in Australia.
Before I share with you some insights about the Macedonian community in Australia, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the lands on which I live and work, and pay my respect to elders, past, present, and future. I live in Alawa, which is 16 kilometers south of the Sydney Central Business District, and the name comes from the local Aboriginal term to remain here. It is thought that the Aboriginal clan, most prominent in the St. George area, the Kamaygal people, the people of Kamay or Botany Bay, lived in and around the area known as Alawa. And now a little bit about the Macedonians in Australia. They migrated to Australia in multiple waves over the last 100 years. Many arrived in 1920s and 30s, and later some of them as displaced persons during and after the Greek Civil War that lasted from 1944 to 1949. Many of the young male Macedonians travelled around Australia in small labour groups, earning and saving to provide for the families in their home country. Some later brought their families out to settle in Australia. Manjibab, for instance, is considered as one of the original Macedonian settlements in Australia. One of the first Macedonians to arrive in Manjibab was Risto Marin in 1924 when he established a market garden. Many of the first Macedonians at the time ended up cutting a railway or scrap clearing. Eventually, permanent immigrants arrived and many market gardens were set up. The largest wave of immigration was during 1960s and 70s, settling in Richmond and Footscray. Macedonians came either sponsored by their families or as economic migrants. During the peak of emigration in the early 1970s, Macedonians settled mainly in industrial districts, particularly in Wollongong and Newcastle, in the Melbourne suburb of Thomastown and in Sydney suburb of Rockdale. But some have also settled in isolated parts of Australia, like Port Hedland. Macedonian migration had slowed down by the 1980s, but many skilled professionals continued to migrate to Australia during the 1990s, after the breakup of Yugoslavia, and Macedonia was one of the republics in the Yugoslav Federation and declared independence in 1991. According to the Australian Census 2016, there are 98,440 people with Macedonian ancestry. Many Macedonians still speak Macedonian at home, according to the same census data, over 66,000. They also follow Macedonian customs, and over the decades, they have found many social and cultural organizations. Most Macedonians are followers of the Macedonian Orthodox Church. There are about 40 Macedonian Orthodox churches throughout Australia, 3 monasteries and 2 cathedrals. Macedonian culture is very family and community oriented. The extended family members are often involved with people's daily lives, and grandparents help raise the youngest generation while parents work. Almost all children are allocated a godmother and godfather at birth. These are often chosen from within the family and are thought to be the couple that will care for the child should something happen to their parents before they reach adulthood. Regarding the etiquette, it is expected that people act more formal and respectful around their elders. Macedonian family members and close friends visit each other's homes very often, and many of those visits can happen unplanned. If Macedonian has invited you to their house for a meal, they really expect you to contribute to the food. They provide everything served. Macedonians love to socialize over meals. Baked beans or tavče gravče is a traditional Macedonian dish which is cooked in traditional earthenware. And Macedonians are extremely passionate about singing and dancing. Through their traditional folk dances and songs, Macedonians express their feelings, their sorrows and joys. Usually they are played during weddings, feasts, church gatherings and all kinds of celebrations.
And Radica has one particular story to share: the life and work of Aboriginal Macedonian man Ken Zulumovski, whose drive is to foster meaningful change for his people and promote reconciliation.
Macedonian program in the past had a segments for learning some Aboriginal words, but today I would like to share with you about our interview with a talent who fights fiercely for Indigenous rights. His name is Ken Zulumovski, Aboriginal Macedonian from Sydney, and we interviewed him at the beginning of the National Reconciliation Week this year. Ken's Aboriginal name is Kira Dan, and he is descendant of the Kabi Kabi Nation. He also tells us that his surname Zulumovski comes from the Turkish word Zulum and means to resist the authorities, as his great-great-grandfathers were called that by the Turks for resisting the occupation of Macedonia. Mr. Zulumovski is an honorary doctor of medical sciences and recipient of the Australian Defence Force Medal. His life story now is one of great success, but there were different beginnings. He grew up in housing commission, surrounded by domestic violence, drugs, depression and anxiety. By the age of 15, he had been expelled from 6 schools and appeared twice before the juvenile court. But with great desire to change the course of his life, at the age of 17, Ken enlisted as a reserve in the Royal Artillery Unit. And the rest, they say, is history. He founded the not-for-profit Gamarada in 2007 as an organization that helps Indigenous people in the areas of domestic violence, addiction and suicide. In 2010, Dr. Zulumovski founded the consulting firm GUIR, which provides individual reconciliation plans for private, state and the not-for-profit sector. In 2012, Mr. Zulumovski chaired the New South Wales first Aboriginal Reconciliation Forum and was a member of the New South Wales Mental Health Committee Indigenous Leaders Forum.
Mm-hmm. And now let's hear from Ken Zolomowski in his own words and what really drives him.
My name is Ken Zolomowski. I'm a descendant of the Cubby Cubby Nation of Southeast Queensland through my mother, Auntie Sandra Johnson, and grandmother, Auntie Hazel Johnson. I'm managing director of Gamarada Universal Indigenous Resources, which is a consultancy that exists to build organizational capacity and program delivery, therapeutic services, specialized and tailored services across the private, government, and individual sectors. I'm also managing director of the not-for-profit Gamarada Indigenous Healing and Life Training, which is a registered charity that's been set up to assist with the relief of poverty and distress at First Nations people, and it specifically targets suicide prevention, family dislocation, family violence, and culturally safe programs for the education, health, and justice spaces as well. For the last 16 years or so, I've had a pretty incredible career in Aboriginal affairs, mainly Aboriginal health, and established some very, very successful programs and received quite a few awards, Premier's Excellence Award. So at this point, I've amounted a fairly successful career and have been able to influence a lot of people and hopefully touch and improve the lives of a lot of people in community.
But what really drives Ken Zolomowski? He says his stint as an Australian Army Reserve marked his professional beginning, but connection to his culture and country would define the direction that he took.
But certainly professionally, I think, yeah, my time in the 7th Field Regiment and my time with the Australian Defence Force Recruiting Unit probably had a massive influence on doing things on a bigger scale, more professionally. You know, I must say that according to our culture and our protocols, you know, we're born into certain responsibilities. We have certain cultural responsibilities and values around reciprocity, giving back to community, caring for your kinship structure, your community, your relatives and your close community. So the obligation is always there to be community orientated and to have a sense of duty to do what's right for your community.
Ken Zolomowski is not going to stop there. He will continue to strive to make meaningful change and going all the way up to entering the realm of politics where he says meaningful decisions are taken.
To know something about any of the complex topics that we have for First Nations Australians today, there are reams and reams of reports and publications and plans and recommendations, and there's tons and tons of it. It's all there. The point is it just doesn't get read and doesn't get implemented. I think state politics is where you can make a lot of change on the ground. State politics is where, you know, most big projects are initiated from, and if I want to make change in the justice system, in the education system, maybe in the employment space and in the health space, I think I could potentially do more from, you know, a state position in politics. However, there is still a lot of room for growth with my business, and I think you know, I'm going to work towards building that as well, because we do have real potential to get out there in community and to fill some of those gaps that the mainstream, you know, the mainstream services are missing. Do work with them in collaboration to complement what's already existing.
That's all for this episode of the New Firsts NITV podcast series. We'd like to thank our guests, Raditza Boykowska, executive producer of SBS Macedonian, and Aboriginal Macedonian man Ken Zolomowski. And if you want to check out more of our podcasts, the NITV podcast, the Our Story podcast, Take It Black or Balling Out, just go to where you get your podcasts from.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.